Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve today. And I'm blessed because I get to sit right next to Alice Benton, Dr. Benton.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
And Jill Hubbard will be joining us shortly. She comes usually just rolling in right about the time that we're getting started. So we'll look for her real soon. You know, it's Christmas Eve Eve. And Christmas was a miracle. You know, the virgin birth. And this ministry, what we do, we experience miracles. Now, that virgin birth was, I think, a miracle unmatched, unattainable anywhere. But I just want to talk about miracles because life transformation is a miracle. And I think of a gentleman, he's one of our board members, and he said, that this ministry was a life preserver. And he's hanging on for his life, and his marriage would not have survived, and his whole life is different. And he's a leader in industry. He's a very, very successful man, but he experienced a miracle. And, you know, the gratitude and the joy that comes with that is what makes life different for so many people. So what comes to mind when you think about a miracle, Alice, and life transformation? Is there any example or just a concept? What comes to your mind?
Well, I get to have a front row seat to so many New Life families that have experienced transformation. A lot of folks in my private practice were first listeners to New Life. And so I get to see how over time what they have learned from New Life and what they've put into practice, the way that they access the New Life community, I get to see how it's changed their families and truly how many families will be together over Christmas because of how New Life intervened in their lives.
I can remember a woman calling me and saying, I just want to tell you how grateful I am for New Life. My husband went to Every Man's Battle, and he is having a wonderful, wonderful Christmas because he is relating to our daughters like he's never related before. He's on the floor playing with them. They're having fun. That never happened in all our marriage years, and it is something. You know, the thing about what we do here is redemption and restoration. That's part of what we're trying to do. We're asking God to do through us to help you do what you do. And Dr. Jill's here. Thank you for coming in, Jill.
Hello, guys.
We're talking about the miracle of Christmas.
Yep.
And just the miracles that we see here at New Life. So what comes to your mind when we talk about the miracle of transformation? Is there a person, an example, a concept? What comes to mind?
Well, I just think so many people who I have either run into or have seen in my practice that have shared with me stories of just how they are struggling, and then maybe they went to one of our conferences, and how much it opened their eyes to things, and how much the ongoing work that we offer for people and invite them into just means so much to them and gives them a new way, a new lease on life. That they wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah.
We've gotten to work with a lot of the folks that receive the scholarship through the generosity of you listeners.
Yes.
And how they couldn't have gone to that conference. They wouldn't be in ongoing therapy or ongoing group without the assistance of the scholarship. It's such a celebration that God always multiplies grace, and He does it through willing folks like all of you that support us, and we get to keep passing that on.
Thank you. We will go to the phones in just a minute here after a break. Give us a call at 800-229-3000. We'll be here the full hour. We look forward to talking to you, and we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And just one quick business item here before we take a call. I want to thank everybody for giving the New Life. It's been a very, very interesting year. There have been ups and downs, really positive things. It's just, you know, all the challenges. But one of the things that we do when you give, we do what we can to stretch the money that comes to New Life. One of the things we're doing right now is we're making a change to a processing company that processes our credit cards. And if you're in Club New Life and you haven't spoken to somebody or helped us make a transition in this credit card processing, would you please call us? Just call 800 number, say I'm a Club New Life member. I heard on the phone that I need to call you, and they'll tell you the information that they need so that we can make this process happen more smoothly. Okay, let's talk to Desiree. Desiree is calling from Seattle, Washington, listens on KACS. Hi, Desiree. How can we help you?
Thank you. I really appreciate your show. I listen to it every night and as I go to sleep. And I really have learned a lot over the last number of years.
Are you saying that our program puts you to sleep?
Yeah, really.
No, like it does. It really does.
Okay. I'm just teasing.
But well, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I don't know.
It's okay, Desiree.
Now we're out by 10 o'clock. I don't mean I'm just knocking out in 5 minutes. That's not what I meant. Right.
I wouldn't
we're glad we're so soothing for you.
I wouldn't last that long. So what's your question?
Sure, I love the show. It's a pretty deep question. It's on a relationship, but also communication has been a real problem for a real long time. Between the two of us.
And that's between who?
That's between me and a once called boyfriend.
Okay.
What are you now?
What does that mean?
That means he was once a boyfriend and now he's maybe a friend and maybe not.
Hmm. Okay.
But he's my friend in one way, but other ways he's not a friend. Because he doesn't have friendly and kind things to say, and he does nice things that no other friend would do, or even my family back east. He is sort of a person that's there and does nice things when he wants to, more than anyone else. But he has crude and rude and unkind words to say a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, and then some of the time they're even worse than rude and crude. They're downright on the edge of, I wonder sometimes, if under some kind of bondages in the soulish realm from a childhood and his adulthood.
Sorry, is this a friend that you're living with, or is this a friend that just is out of your past? It's still.
Well, the deal is, it's kind of a complex deal. He's got his own apartment. I've got my own apartment, and we're together, but we're not together, and we do not share the bedroom at all, like ever.
So you are living in the same apartment, just in different rooms.
Well, no, he has his own apartment and his own bedroom, and I have my own apartment and my own bedroom.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not living together. So, because I'm wondering, well,
sometimes we hang out for a night or two or three, but we're not, like, stuck with each other.
Oh, okay. So you have slumber parties.
And he doesn't get in my bed. And he's not. He doesn't ever hug me.
Okay. So you're not sleeping with him.
No.
Okay. Okay. So, but I'm wondering. Okay, this is an ex-boyfriend that really didn't get exed out. Is that what you're saying? So he was a boyfriend. You decided you didn't want him to be your boyfriend, but instead you've kept him as a lifelong friend, even though you didn't want to date him. Is that correct?
Well,
or you didn't want to...
That's probably the...
I get that it's complicated, but it's like you had a romantic...
No, I can answer it.
Okay.
Like, it started out... I thought, okay, but if you don't know love, and you have, if you've never learned love as a child... Mm-hmm. Or throughout life, what's your meaning of love? There's all kinds of things that can be in your head thinking it's love. You know,
A lot of variations.
Infatuation. And I mean, I think I just had a whole bunch of mesh of those types of thinkings and images, and I just thought it was.
Yeah.
So I know now it was not.
And Desiree, what do you want with him now?
Yeah.
Do you know what you want with him now?
Well, I think to get some meeting of the mind, conversation that doesn't turn into strife or an underlying attitude of bitterness in his head or heart or whatever is there. I don't know what decade or time frame or...
So, Desiree, I think you both probably come from chaotic and maybe broken homes, and neither of you have neither of you have very stable, healthy people in your lives. And so you're the only one each other has right now. And although
that's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's absolutely a
which
truth.
Is why you it stay clinging truth. Together.
Even though he often mistreats you with his words.
Yep. That's true.
So you're kind of like pseudo family.
What's that mean?
Meaning you're each other's significant other, even though the relationship is very undefined. Regardless of what you call it, he's the person you spend the most time with.
Now he tells me that I'm a baby girl. And I tried to ask him last night, okay, well, my name, what the heck, anyway, my name. And then he'll go, no, I don't like Desiree. I go, really, why don't you like her? Well, she's all broken. She's a broken person. She's really broken. She's very broken. She can't be fixed. Then he gave me another illustration, and the next illustration was a word that came before Desiree. And that person was, when you get upset or angry, you become a bitch, and then I don't like Desiree. So he doesn't like Desiree at all, but he likes baby girls. So I got to figure out who baby girl is, because I'm not two people. Mm-hmm. I know I'm broken, and he knows a lot of the reasonings why I'm broken.
So Desiree, I think that you look for all of your support, and you put a lot of hope in him, and it ties you to him in a way that leaves you tolerating mistreatment, and maybe you mistreat him too, but you're all each other has. And I think you're looking for the strength to improve communication in this relationship, even though he might not be interested in changing the way that he treats you. And my concern is that everything you have seems to be very, all emotionally, everything is attached to him and relying on him. And that won't serve you well in the long run. Because when we cling to a relationship because we're so lonely and we're so isolated, it leaves us very vulnerable to accept what's unacceptable from that person. And I think a large part of the answer for you, Desiree, no matter what happens in this relationship with him, and a lot of it's confusing and vague, yeah. and I don't think either of you know what you want, but you certainly don't want to be all alone. But I think a large part of the answer will come from you expanding your relationship with other women. And I think it feels impossible to do that. But we can help you do that. You desperately need a community of some good, stable women in your life. And that will probably come out of perhaps a therapeutic relationship with a therapist or out of a small group setting. Is there any willingness within you to consider branching out in that way after you've experienced so many broken relationships?
What do you mean, so many broken relationships? I didn't say I had a lot of broken relationships. Oh, you're talking about my family back east?
Yes.
So that type of relationship.
Your description that there's nobody else that seems to treat you as well as he does.
And the reason, well, I am making new friends, and I have one psychologist. We are keeping in touch. I am beginning to take keyboard lessons, but I'm in interacting with another person. I'm interacting with my sister on the back east and putting together some, working with a guy here in Washington State, getting some things together and gift shops for sale. I'm involved in that. I just got my new cat after my 17-year-old cat died.
Desiree, it's really good. Huh? It's really good that you have these relationships mm-hmm. and you have these interactions. I think you need something more structured and consistent than that for you to be able to break out of the unhealthy communication pattern with your friend.
Yeah, something on a regular basis, right, that you know that you can count on. And you see people in an environment where it's repeated exposure over time, because that's what builds and strengthens and deepens relationships. So something like, you know, like a 12-step group, codependency group, something like that is a place where people talk about really what's going on in their lives.
And it's the place that we get the fuel to be able to have tough conversations, to be able to mm-hmm. confront the way we're being treated, mistreated, but you're going to need to get that strength and support from other women who can come around you, understand you, and encourage you forward.
And it's going to be work. It's not going to be simple. She's going to have to take steps and do something that she's not used to doing, mm-hmm. right?
But I think when you have people around you supporting
yeah.
you, it's easier. It gives you some power,
you get that,
right?
It sure does.
So we want you to stay on the line because we can connect you with a therapist in your area, and we can also look at groups that might be, you're in a great area in Washington and Seattle, so we could connect you with some groups as well. So stay on the line, and we'll get you those resources.
And I'd like to send you Take Your Life Back. I think
that would be a great one.
Really help you as you strive to engage again. And so thank you for calling. Just want to encourage you to call us, 800-229-3000. Would love to hear from some of you who maybe are having a struggle right now with Christmas and all that is going on around it. We're going to come back and talk to Helen in just a second here, but I want to remind you that you can go to YouTube at www.youtube.com/newlifelive and see the program. And you can also subscribe to that channel and look at past New Life Live shows. And there are Going Deeper episodes. Steve does a program every day, Going Deeper, and talking about different subjects, different matters, but it goes a little deeper. And then we have Life Recovery Today episodes there as well. So please take a look at that. I also just want to encourage you as we, let me read this, talking about Christmas. I'm not sure who put this in my box. It says, if the house isn't clean, it's still Christmas. If desserts aren't made, it's still Christmas. If there are no decorations, it's still Christmas. If the gifts aren't purchased, it's still Christmas. But if it's not about Christ, it's not Christmas.
Oh, love that.
So, you know, think about that as you go into Christmas. This is a tough time. Families are in disarray. People are struggling. People are going to have Christmas on Zoom instead of sitting across the table sharing a meal. And not everybody will do that, but there's such a different time this year. And so remember what Christmas is. Christmas is about Christ. He came to this world for one reason, and that was to live that perfect life, to be a sacrifice, and then to resurrect, to be resurrected by his Father. So keep that in mind as you think about Christmas. We're going to come back and take a call right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're going to go talk to Helen, Silver Spring, Maryland. She listens on WAVA, one of our favorite stations. How can we help you, Helen?
Hello. Yes, I wish you can give me some information. I have a granddaughter graduating on counseling, and she wants to go for a master's. And I want to suggest that she blends that with Christian counseling.
Helen, have you and she talked about that? And your granddaughter's a Christian?
We don't live in the same place, and I'm going now for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, the family is Christian.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, going to college, how far she is with it.
Well,
but I want to suggest something. So,
well, I wonder, too, if you might suggest she listen to our show. Because that's a good introduction to, you know, dealing with issues and talking with people. And so much of when you go for your master's, you know, you get the academic piece, but you really need the experiential components as well. So, you know, things that we recommend is that people getting their own counseling is the one of the best ways to get an education in it. While you're going to school and learning the academics, you need to have a real live experience, because a therapist who's only sat in the therapist chair and never been on the couch, you know, doesn't have the full perspective of the impact of what clients receive and what really is beneficial. So, go ahead.
Telling to me, I want her to hear, is anything in writing that you can mail it to her?
Actually, our shows are archived, so you could even have your granddaughter listen to this call after the fact.
Well, I'm not with her right now, and on the holidays.
Right, but you're going to see her.
Now, you are on WAVS, right? And she lives in Lancaster. I don't know what time the show is up there. What station is it?
Well, off the top of my head, I don't remember, but there are a couple of stations in Lancaster area. And so she can find us. Go to newlife.com and just look at the radio schedule.
Okay. Yeah, our website would be the best
way to go. Also, have her consider John Townsend, who is part of our family here, has an institute. His name is John
Dr.
Townsend.
Dr. John Townsend.
He does an institute.
Townsend.
T-O-W-N.
He's on our website as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has an institute and offers master's degrees and things like this. So
Where is he located?
Right here in California.
And through.
Ooh, she's far.
No, I know, but through Concordia University, Helen. Helen,
have her to listen to your show, and maybe she can ask.
Helen, I would just encourage her to seek out, you know, as she's looking for master's programs, to let her know that there are ones with a Christian emphasis that do blend psychology and theology. And she can look up the Townsend Institute. It's through Concordia University, and they do remote learning, and some in person, but a lot of remote learning that has worked really well for people, especially right now.
Thank you, Helen. Appreciate your call. We'll just pray you have a good time with your daughter, granddaughter, and help her find what she needs.
I have said many times that I've gotten a better education listening to New Life, going to our weekends, and reading our author's books than I did at the graduate school that I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And even, folks, just learning emotional intelligence and how to relate to one another on an emotional level,
mm-hmm.
New Life teaches how to do that mm-hmm. in such practical, applicable ways. So sharing our website, truly, folks, I think it's a gift to anybody that we pass this on to, because so few of us have learned these skills, and we all need them, not just counselors. Mm-hmm. We all need these skills.
The website and the radio program, that's right. Let's talk to AJ in Atlanta, Georgia. Listens on Sirius XM. AJ, how can we help you?
Well, I'm calling back in. It's been about 2 years, and originally I found that my husband is in, after 27 years of marriage, that he's into pornography, and just recently sexually objectifying women. He's constantly giving in to him, his temptation, saying that he can't help himself. He has gone through counseling. He has accountability partners. And I'm just, you know, I've put all into my marriage, and I'm just trying to figure out what can I do in my life to make things better for myself. I'm a Christian, not really trying to get divorced, but if that's where it's going to be heading, I need to know how to get on with my life and what I can do to help.
Has he done anything to try to get help?
He's gone to see a counselor. Done the 12-step program,
okay,
and he's currently doing like a discipleship program for the church now.
Good.
And they counsel him on the side, but it's this weak mentality, like he's powerless, he can't, you know, he just has to see women's body parts, and it's just something that he's going to continue to give in to, and he can't help himself, and you know, that's God doesn't call us to, you know, to be like that. We're supposed mm-hmm. to be more disciplined and more in charge of our lives, I guess, and our decisions and what we do.
AJ, it must be crushing to hear him speak in such a powerless way, that he just keeps giving in despite the help he's gotten. We're about to come to a break, but tell us, what's one way that you've gotten help for yourself during this time?
I'm in the process of getting ready to get me a counselor. I've been speaking to women, and I've been going to church, and they've been telling me things, but it's a little skewed.
Okay, we're gonna come back then and give you some direction.
Okay.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're speaking with AJ, and AJ's husband is addicted to porn. She's not sure what to do. He's been working on things for 2 years on his own, or with help. Where do we go?
And AJ, I just agree. You know, after 2 years of working on this, it must be so disheartening for you, you know, and beyond, because, you know, here you had hope that he was getting help, and now he's still acting very helpless in this. And so, you know,
he's manipulative as well, sometimes sexually objectifying women. Right there when I'm with him, and he's like, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And then when I tell him about it, then he'll say he's not doing it, and then it's like a, you know, it's like a little game or something. It's driving me crazy.
And I wonder how much he's really allowing the help in. to be effective, how honest he's really being. You know, sometimes, I mean, some people, they'll go through the motions and say, well, I'm doing all these things, but when they're not really taking it to heart, they're not letting the help in. They're just, you know, kind of, like Teflon. And meanwhile, go ahead.
I was going to say, with the lying, though, it's been like, you know, 27, 28 years of hiding that, living that double life. Mm-hmm. So it's so easy to lie. It's just, I don't even trust him. I can't even really believe what he's saying.
AJ, you need help and he needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I think is we need to get him to Every Man's Battle Workshop one day online. And it could be a life changer for him and for you. And that's coming up January the 9th. And so I really want you to make that an issue and a point and a requirement of your husband.
Yeah, because when what you're doing isn't working, you need to change it up, right? So not that the programs you have been involved in aren't good, you know, and they might be good for the follow-up, part of the follow-up care, but you got to try something different. And so,
what if he doesn't apply that, though? And that's the thing.
Well,
all these resources, and if he don't apply that, then what?
Don't play the what if.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to keep seeking help until it sinks in, right? You never give up. And so...
And then meanwhile, we're living like separate, like brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
How can the marriage go on like that?
Yeah.
He wants to be with me. I don't want him to touch me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How can this work?
So I think we need to send you guys Worthy of Her Trust, because I think...
That's the book that we originally got from you all.
Okay.
And he's not applying. I thought it was excellent, but what do you do when they don't apply that? I need to go on with my life.
AJ, I think that you're getting sucked into circular arguments with him and the attempts to convince him to buy in to everything that you know and we know to be right. But you're fighting a battle that you don't have the power over to win, that you don't have that power to change his mind or to convince him of what he should be doing. So I think your focus needs to come back on what you can do, whether or not he's willing to get the help. And so the fact that you're about to go in to see a counselor, you really need a strategist with you, that as my husband continues to lie and continues to choose pornography, what action can I take? And your husband probably needs to lose more of you. I don't think he's experienced enough pain for these toxic decisions that he's making. I don't want you to get divorced either. But as this continues, you probably have to think about separating yourself more from him, allowing him to lose the pleasure of your company. And if that continues think about even a separation, leaving the home, to think about a legal separation, there has to be teeth to boundaries and to requirements. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't change, because he's not motivated enough to change.
So we want you to require him to go to Every Man's Battle. I mean, that's a step you're going to have to talk to him about. Ask him to listen to this program. Go online and listen to this program. Say, you cared so much and you're so concerned you didn't know what to do, so you sought help from a radio program.
And then, AJ, we want you to get involved in our Restore workshop. That would be a really good place for you to start to get some support. And, you know, our workshops, the beauty of them, it's not just an hour seeing a counselor. And I want you to go for counseling, because that hour a week is invaluable. But this is like an immersion, and you really, you know, you get the teaching as well as the groups and the support, and to hash through what your specifics are in your situation. And then so many of those groups go on to continue to support one another. I hear all the time from different clients who have gone to Restore how they still connect with some of the women and support each other. And we need that, and you need that, because it's very lonely to be in a marriage like this and battling and only, you know, kind of debating with him. So like you said, Alice, something with teeth behind it. You need people who are soaked in the truth to help support you.
So you might acknowledge to him, I see that that you're not doing enough to choose our marriage. And mm-hmm. I want you to. I don't want us to get divorced. But if you continue to act in this way, I want you to know I'm going to get the help for myself to figure out what I can do differently. And that may include some distance from you. I don't want that to happen, but your behavior will dictate what I need to do to take care of myself.
Right. And this feigning helplessness, so many people have gotten help for this issue. So this is not an issue that is beyond help. And he does not have terminal uniqueness in that he's the only person who can't receive help for this. And so I would kind of call him out on that helplessness, right? If others can get help, he can get help too. Is he willing?
The workshops, there is a charge to attend, and if money is an issue, if you guys are short on money, we do offer scholarships. It's not just a grant. Anybody can get a grant. But if you talk to somebody and say, I need a scholarship, they'll help make that happen. So stay on the line, and we'll get you transferred to people that can talk to you and help you get this going. It's important. We want to talk to Tom in Bismarck. Tom listens on Sirius XM. Tom, how can we help you?
Oh, I'm just feeling really hopeless.
That's not a good place to be.
Yeah, sorry, Tom.
Why are you hopeless? What has burst your bubble?
Well, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and I don't know how much I can share on the line.
Well, try us.
Tom, give us some of the significant things, one or two of the significant things that have left
so
you feeling so hopeless.
Well, I'm close to 60 years old, and I have no retirement. I lost everything.
Mm.
And I don't know.
Tom, I'm gonna give you a scripture verse, and then I'm gonna let Alice and Jill talk you through more practical things than I have the ability to do. But there's a verse in Lamentations. Jeremiah just went through a horrible experience. I mean, horrible experience, worse than you can imagine. And all of a sudden, he said, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." And his hope was, the steadfast love of God never fails, and his mercies are new every morning. And as great is his faithfulness. So that's something to lean on.
Sometimes that's our only hope, right?
Yeah, that's not an answer to your call. But I want to let Alice and Jill talk to you a little bit more about the practical side of this.
Okay, I'd share more, but I don't want to say much online.
Okay, but you held on, you called us and held on because you're feeling hopeless. So what is your question for us, Tom?
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Is your wife sharing the hopelessness?
She's more optimistic than I am.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
And do you have kids?
I have one daughter, adult daughter.
Okay.
Are you in relationship with her? Do you have relationship with her?
It could be better.
Okay.
She's, I don't know. I just don't know what I can say on the radio. I'm afraid people are going to hear it. And
okay, but did you have a question for us?
I cashed in my retirement about 10 years ago to buy a house. And I've never been able to rebuild it. I always, in the back of my mind, I always thought God was some way going to work it out. I see now what a mistake that was. But
He might still be working it out.
Tom, are you feeling like a failure, and are you feeling the weight of shame?
A failure, you could say, I guess. Yeah.
Are you employed?
Yes.
Okay.
Tom, when we are ashamed and we feel like a failure, we tend to draw in and get stuck in our heads and a lot of self-condemnation.
Very
so we're coming
point.
To a break, but we're going to come back with hope and some steps you can take.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking to Tom. Tom's feeling hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to give him an injection of hope, but to help him steer him in a direction where he senses that and finds it more naturally.
Tom, I would guess that by nature, you're kind of a quiet guy. Maybe you keep your head down, you work hard, you keep moving forward, but you kind of hold your cards close to your chest. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. And shame just doubles down on that, and feeling like a failure weighs that down even more. But God has a formula for this. God has a way out. In fact, he has an incredible promise that he always makes a way out for us. But the way out for you is going to be particularly difficult because it goes against your nature. His formula for this is bringing these secrets and the shame into the light and the comfort and the healing of relationship. And Tom, I know you have it in you, even though it would be hard, because you made this call. Mm-hmm. And I bet this was very difficult for you to do. And the more, Tom, that you will bring this confession and say what you can't say here on the air, the more you'll bring that to some trustworthy men in your life, the more your hope will be restored. That's how God does surgery on our heart, and that's how he turns our failures into hope and success again.
Because, you know, Tom, in the darkness, it just magnifies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the enemy loves to take, mm-hmm. you know, our shame and our failures and just blow them up and make them seem just beyond, you know. I lost the word there,
right.
But, you know, bigger than life itself. And so what shrinks that is exactly what Alice is talking about. And it's the hardest thing to do, but as soon as you do it, you feel the relief. And so I'm wondering, Tom, if there's any men that come to mind that you could have a deeper conversation with.
And it will be a risk, Tom.
Yes.
You have to be willing to put yourself out
there.
You've
got to trust God enough to take the risk.
Like you're doing right now with us.
Right. Yes. Yes. You've just done that.
So please do that. Look for a men's group. Look for somebody in your church that you might feel safe about. And try to connect with somebody.
Right.
And share your heart.
Right. So you need, you know, at least one, maybe a couple men that you could be honest with and share your shame with. And then, you know, then you can receive, you know, their view of things. And it helps to shrink it down to size.
Yeah.
And they can help you also think your way out of it.
And we're going to send you Healing as a Choice. And the reason I chose that book, we were talking about which book, is it gives you choices to make to experience healing in your life in different areas, but it also talks about the lies that Satan is asking you to believe in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're feeling hopeless and full of shame, those lies seem more real than they need to feel. So we're going to send you that book, and I hope it helps, Tom. Thank you for calling us.
There's another reason for that book, too, mm-hmm. because with all of our callers, it's not just the incident that you're calling about.
Amen.
It's the lifetime accumulation of mm-hmm. the mistakes we've all made, the sins we've committed, and the ways we've been hurt by other people. And Healing is a Choice leads us out of that.
Thanks, Tom, for your call. Let's talk to Renee in Pensacola, Florida. Listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Renee.
Hi.
How can we help you?
Well, I changed my life a few years ago, and I've been reading my Bible, and before that, I led a pretty sinful life. I had a really rough childhood. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just telling you what led me mm-hmm. down the road that I went.
So
okay,
how did you change your life? You said you changed your life. What was that?
I got to know Christ.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I didn't know what love was. So, anyway, I've been divorced several times. Married, divorced, you know, living that sinful life, not knowing what it was that was going to make me happy.
Okay.
Well, since then, now that I have Christ in my life, this wonderful man has walked into my life, and I don't know that I have the right to enjoy a life with him.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Because I've because...
You're believing something that's not true if you don't think you have that right. You do have the right to have...
Well...
Yeah,
in the Bible it says if a woman gets a writ of divorce, that it causes her to commit adultery. Right?
So does that mean that you're going to live in pain and sin and sorrow the rest of your life? Is that what you believe?
You said that you became a Christian. So that was in a prior life, right?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the Lord has delivered you into a new life. Old things have passed away, Renee. And those choices that you made prior to being a Christian, you know, in a sense, people sin in their ignorance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't understand
That's what I did.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So now that you're a new creature in Christ, you get to have a new life. Right? And this, it sounds like a great guy has come into your life. And why do you have to live under the bondage of the law forever? You're kind of holding yourself just to Old Testament standards and not to the grace of the New Testament.
And I think that there's something else that keeps you stuck in that. And I think that it is, I don't know that enough people know the depth of what you're ashamed of, the depth of the sins that you have committed. And so you haven't experienced the fullness of God's forgiveness of you and his acceptance of you. Because, Renee, it really, since we're all sinners, we all lost the right. Do I have the right to be happy? I've sinned horribly too.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't. I don't deserve
None
it.
None of us deserve anything, right?
But God wants to give you the fresh start because of his death on the cross. Not because you deserve it, but because you're willing to choose faith. But the path for you will be revealing those sins to safe people and experiencing their forgiveness and their acceptance of you. And that's the way to experience God's forgiveness and acceptance of you on that deeper level that you need.
Renee, you were about to ask a question. We wanted us to point you or show you something. What was that question?
Can you point me to somewhere in the Bible where I can read with my own eyes his word that will shine the light so that I can see that it's okay?
We can. I'm not sure I'll do it this minute, but you hold on and make sure we have your phone number or email address, and we'll send you more than one scripture.
I don't know chapter and verse on this, but he tells us that our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And it's the blood of Christ that makes us right with God. It's not our actions. It's not because we deserve it. It's because of the blood that he shed that removes those sins.
And forgiveness is not anything we're ever going to understand. We can't understand how he could forgive something that we did that was totally in violation of his law and his desire for us. But he did. And he asked us to do the same thing, including forgiving ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you're really not accepting the Lord's free gift if you don't forgive yourself, right?
Yeah.
You're still holding yourself accountable for your past sins.
If you can't forgive yourself, you're putting yourself in a higher position than God because God forgave you.
The fullness of the verse is Psalm 103:1. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He's compassionate and gracious. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He removes them as far as the east is from the west.
Thank you for listening. We love you. Thank you for your support financially to New Life. We hope you'll continue that, and we hope that you'll see Christ in Christmas this year. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.